I would like to read from Psalms 85, from verse 8 to 12. Psalms 85, from verse 8. Let us stand up for it. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh to them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Maybe also the last two verses. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Let us pray. Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, you are not only in heaven, you are also on earth. You are omnipresent. Heaven and earth have hugged each other. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Because you, O God, became man, you could make a bridge from heaven to earth and from the earth to heaven. You were manifest in the flesh, in the shape of a man, to make us a divine kindred, to sons and daughters of God. On this day, O Lord, we remember that you made yourself of no reputation, and we remember that you took upon yourself the form of a servant, and you were made in the likeness of men, wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid into a manger. Almighty God, the greatest miracle of miracles, that God became man for the sake of men. We ask you, may you let this day, become a special day for all of us. Give grace that we get aware of what you have done for us and on us. Also remind us what we owe you, namely our whole life. Faithful Lord, we place this meeting consciously under the leading of your Holy Spirit. We ask you, cleanse and sanctify us. May the blood of the Lamb, through which we were reconciled, may it also now work reconciliation, forgiveness, salvation and grace. and be with us. We ask you, bless this day, bless and sanctify all who are present and all who later on will experience this service once again with us. We thank you with all our heart that you will do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This day is in some kind of way a special day. It is for us a year-end meeting, a meeting in which we remember what God has done in the course of this year with joy and with thankfulness. We remember it. A year that will not return again. Every opportunity which we missed will not come again. But every soul which was led to the Lord will remain as fruit for eternity. After all, it's a coming and going on earth. This we all experienced here at this place in the course of the 20 years personally. There was a coming and going. Elderly brothers and sisters were called home, and now they may be with the Lord. Others were added, whom the Lord has called out and whom he pardoned. For this, we are very grateful to God with all our hearts. In particular, those who probably are here today for the first time, or who were just recently added, we welcome you in a very special way, with the deepest wish of our soul, that also you understand the speaking and the working of God in our days, that you believe it, that you have part in it. For us, it's really about to not just playing piously, to held services because it belongs to the Christian life. For us, it is about to carry on the word received from God with the same truthfulness and honesty and purity with which the prophets and apostles have received it from God and got it revealed. We may with that, what Paul writes to the Thessalonians, tune in sincerely and say, we were not handling the word of God deceitfully. We were not walking in craftiness. We didn't make special doctrines our hobby horse. But by the grace of God, as far as we can judge it, in a balanced way, in relation to each other, we proclaimed the biblical truths and preached the whole counsel of our God. This day is for me again a special day, and I hope for all of you, a day on which I think back in how many countries I could travel because you made it possible. How much is all together printed, and how many cassettes were shipped into all the world because it was made possible. Today, Before we go into our word observation, from the bottom of my heart, I would like to thank all of you. I know that it is the Lord who laid His work on your heart, and that we, in this way, can have part in that what is going on now in the kingdom of God, according to the plan of salvation that was purposed before the foundation of the world, that we can have together part in it. God's work concerns all peoples, tongues and nations. Just now, last weekend, I could experience it again in London, that people from Haiti, from Ghana, from Nigeria, yes, from everywhere, they came together to hear the word of the Lord. And the man who invited me, after he called me to the front, he really took a seat in the last row and listened to the preaching. And when we were finished, he came to the front and the praise and worship started. He said, literally, "Brother Frank, I expected much from God, but my expectations have been exceeded. We have slept until now." And then I could only say, "I hope that God has awakened you." Many don't even know of what God has done in our time. And therefore, we are so glad and grateful that we may be up to date in the kingdom of God. This I say in deep humbleness, not of arrogance, that we would look down on others. No, we look up to God. As the hymn writer sings it, "I look up to heaven where you are praised in the higher choir." Paul, the great apostle, formulated it in wonderful words and wrapped it up. "He who wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord." May he glorify the grace of God. And this we want to do on this day in a very special way. I can only say concerning the report, much fruit was given to the Lord in this year. The harvest that was brought in is quite presentable. We might sometimes not see it here at the base, but yet, as already said, it is a worldwide missionary work. And we are dealing with that, what God is doing through His Word and through His Spirit in all the world, as He promised it. He promised, before the return of Jesus Christ, to restore all things and to give the times of refreshing in the presence of God, and to call out a bright church which has neither spot nor wrinkle. A church that stands in the faith in God and God's Word. A church that believes the promised word for this time and who expects the fulfillment of the promises. A church that is restored into the original condition. I believe in it and I hold fast to it with all my heart, that God, right at the end, will have a church as she was right at the beginning. A church that can be presented and can be heard. A church of the living God, in which the living God can do great things and will confirm His word. Today I brought with me a bit information, especially for those who are not so acquainted with all things, like we, who we 18, 20, 16, 15 years or more or less have been acquainted already with all things. If you, for instance, or some of you, read in a brochure, there was an article in the Life magazine or in the Science magazine at that time, there was the picture of the supernatural cloud. Then you read this and you ask yourself, is it really so or is it just being said? Many, many things are said in the religious realm in our days without being so in reality. And therefore, I think, not that it would be a mistrust of you towards me, but everyone has the right to check whether things are so. Everybody has the right to search the Holy Scripture, whether the proclamation is in conformity with the Word of God. And only then, if this is the case, then it can and will line up with God. To the word observation, I would like to later on show the several photographs, but I connect it with the Holy Scripture to put everything upon a biblical foundation. A prophet of God, an apostle, whoever somebody might be, who was set into the church, must line up with the overall testimony of the Holy Scripture, that what he teaches, what he does, and so forth. It must be able to be tested against the Word of God, and you have to be able to determine whether things are so. Let us start with a fitting text for today, from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and to it comes also later on the explanation, which I hope all will receive and accept thankfully. Luke chapter 2, the well-known verses from 9. I begin with Luke 2. Verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In general, this text is well known to all of us. What I want to emphasize today is this term in verse 9 of the glory of the Lord that shone round about the shepherds. Here it says, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. This glory was not a mystic imagination. It was a visible glory of God. It was something from which light came forth, and this middle in the dark night, for it was night. If we speak of the glory of God, then not blurred. Just like when we speak of the Lord, then we know what we are talking about. It is the same with the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord was the supernatural cloud, the glowing light of the cloud of the glory of God, the supernatural light into which God was veiled in and where no one has access to and where no one could see Him. I would like to read at least three scriptures from the Old Testament to give you this in writing. Most people in our days want to have it in writing, me also. Here, I just take the three scriptures from the prophet Ezekiel that are probably best known to us. Ezekiel chapter 1. Here I read verse 28. Later on, you can read the verses before that. But because today we have the Lord's Supper, I would like to just read the scriptures and briefly say something to it. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 28. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Amen. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Here we are told of the glory of the Lord. It was the light shine, the supernatural glowing light in which God dwells. It was the glory that surrounds Him. It could be seen, but God could not be seen. He was in this light. He was in this supernatural cloud, but He could not be seen. One saw the cloud of the glory, this glowing light, not more. I read from Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 12, and then verse 23. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 12. And 23. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing. When the glory of the Lord arose from His place, He looked, He saw the event, and experienced what was connected with it. No imagination, as we can see a natural cloud, so the prophets and men of God have seen the supernatural cloud, the light of the Lord that surrounded the shepherds in the midst of the dark night. Ezekiel 3, verse 23. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, The glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar, and I fell on my face. I could read a number. I wrote it down here. A number of other scriptures of the glory of the Lord. Why did I now read from the Old Testament? Simply to illuminate what we read in Luke chapter 2. Namely, when our Lord became flesh, appearing in the shape of a man, he was in the manger. But the supernatural glory that he put off, that he left behind, was not very far away. It descended down on the earth to say, now I act. Amidst this darkness of this world penetrates divine heavenly light. Now comes clarity. I cannot go here into all the aspects, but one thing I want to emphasize. God began to act. He has intervened into history of mankind, so that in the midst of the history of mankind, the plan of salvation takes place. Let us come back to Luke chapter 2 and let us emphasize it again. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. A visible glory. Today, I brought with me the two American magazines, Life magazine and Science magazine, which both reported back then, when this cloud of glory, which you will not see now properly, which appeared in the sky. Likewise, here on the first page, you can see it a bit better, of unbelieving people, in this case, of Dr. James MacDonald, a total unbeliever. Even after that, he remained an unbeliever, because he had no mathematical or plausible explanation. You all know, Brother Branham spoke of it. He said, God showed me in a vision that I shall go north of Tucson, Arizona, into the mountains. There he will speak to me. He spoke about it on the 31st of December, 1962, and on the 28th of February, 1963, happened what we see here. A supernatural cloud, a light, which thousands upon people have seen with their natural eyes, and many have taken pictures. And by this, that what he gave as a testimony was confirmed even by unbelievers. If we read in the prophet Ezekiel, the glory of the Lord appeared at the river Chebar, and when the prophet says, I saw how it went up and down, in the same way, Brother Branham and many others could report it, how this cloud of glory came, how it formed over the mountains, how it descended, and Brother Branham was veiled in it. And then it arose and moved to the west, through the West of America, and then it moved up to Alaska. That's how unbelieving people report it, who have seen it. Friends, brothers and sisters, we didn't fall prey to any deceit. We believe that God lives. And somebody told me, probably yesterday, I always forget, that a man had an idea or made the discovery that Satan lives. That interests me very little. I'm interested that God lives. I'm interested that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I'm interested that God in the Old and New Testament worked in a supernatural way, and that there were always people who believed God. And to these people I want to belong in this time. We want to be people who believe God. God is supernatural and is able to reveal himself in a supernatural way. In connection with this, we would like to emphasize the two last verses which we read. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." God made a bridge to mankind. We all were separated from him, walking on the way to destruction, without hope and without God in this world. Then the Lord, whose love urged him, made this bridge. And for this we are grateful. If God would not have become man, no one could become of divine kindred. Never we could have become sons and daughters of God, if not God himself would have been manifested in the Son. And to my astonishment, on the advice of a beloved brother, I bought myself a new Luther translation, and I looked up some scriptures which are of great significance, among others in Psalms 2, where it is written, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry." The word "son" is missing there. I was so shocked. An inner pain got hold of me. And I thought, how far can people go that they even touch the Word of God, not knowing at all what they do? Right, this point is extremely important, for all the world speaks today, God is our Father. This the Muslims say, this the Hindus say, all say it. Yesterday a Hindu told me, a businessman, a doctor so-and-so, he says, "Between our religion and Christianity, there is no big difference. I was in the city of Einsiedeln and I worshipped there in front of an image. And I felt just as comfortable as if I worship in India in front of an image." Also this pricked my heart, and I said, "This is not Christendom. This is heathendom. This is idolatry. Christendom has to do with Christ." And who the Black Madonna is, no one knows anyway. But you know what we are about, not to criticize. We think on the people who are led to destruction with pious sayings and who only wake up after the funeral speech was held. And who shall watch this? Who shall endure this? We don't touch any religion and no person, but we take ourselves the liberty to tell the people the truth. And the truth is and remains God's word forever. Therefore the promise, already in Psalms 2, ask of me, and I shall give you the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. Mankind must acknowledge the revelation of the Father in the Son, for in the Son he became our Savior, our Redeemer, our Healer, our Deliverer. Whoever does not acknowledge the revelation of God in the Son, Jesus Christ, has no God who brings salvation. Do you all believe this? 100%. For this reason, in the early church, Jesus Christ was emphasized in such a strong way. What did Peter say? To mankind, no other name was given in which one can be saved but in the name of Jesus. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. There are people on earth who were in Jesus Christ and who are in him. As earthy we were all in Adam, no matter when we came on this earth, so there are people, namely sons and daughters of God, who were already in God. And after God became man, and his side was opened, and the blood flowed, the church was redeemed. She was taken out. Since then, people can become children of God. And what would I wish more than if we today would be overshadowed by the supernatural glory of God? That we not only hear words, but that we experience the presence of God. And I even wished that now and then our eyes would be opened so that we could have a look into the glory of God. God is alive. He reveals himself. He speaks. He saves. He heals. He reveals his word. He reveals his will. God is reality. Peace with God is reality. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. In which people is the peace of God? In those on whom God's well-pleasing rests. When does God's well-pleasing rest on them? When they also have the confirmation to have been accepted by God. And his Spirit can bear witness to our spirit that we have become children of God because we believe on his name. May the Lord give today assurance of faith. What did the Lord say in the Gospel of John? If you don't believe that I am he, then you will die in your sin. But we believe that it is him. And therefore, we don't need to die in our sin. He died once for all, that we henceforth live for him. What is the actual experience which we can make with the Lord? Of what does it consist? How is it manifested? We come to the cross with our old life and leave it there because it was crucified with Christ, and take with us his new divine life. And the furthermore life which we have to live, we live in the faith of the Son of God. May today be not only a decision, but an experience that today we can go from here with a new life, with a peace of God that is higher than all understanding of men. Amidst in a world of unrest, of hatred and whatever may surround us. We can have peace with God. We can walk our way with the Lord. Now just quickly some scriptures before we will have the Lord's Supper. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, is well known to all of us. Matthew chapter 5, here it is, verse 9. I read verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The other translation says the pacifiers or conciliators and so forth. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the pacifiers. Blessed are those who have peace in their heart and who can take it and bring it wherever they go. Dear brothers, dear sisters, dear friends, let us examine ourselves today what kind of traces we left behind by conversations, by whatever our lives have been to others. How did it look like there? Was there bossiness? Was there know-it-all? What was? Or was there peace of God that is higher than all understanding of men? Did we make peace or did we cause havoc? Either the one or the other. The Lord wants that we make peace. I tell you how it works. It is Him who does it. I read from Isaiah chapter 9, the well-known verses to all of us. Isaiah 9, verse 5 and 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see what's all about? Prince of Peace. Then it says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The seal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God is jealous for his people. He wants that he, as the Prince of Peace, can give peace to his own. Peace like a river, sings a hymn writer. Peace with God. Let us read from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. Verse 27. Here the following words are written. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The world gives us peace as long as we agree with it. God gives a peace that remains forever, as written, as we read, from now on until eternity. He says through the prophet Isaiah, and the covenant of my peace shall not be removed. Mountains and hills may be removed, but the covenant of peace which God has made in Christ with us remains forever. Romans chapter 5 verse 1, also well known to us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it speaks of faith, of the justification, and of the peace with God. He who believes that by the offering of the one sacrifice was justified before God, he cannot do otherwise but to penetrate to the peace of God. He suddenly gets still. He gets calm. You all know, sometimes we are not satisfied with ourselves and live in discrepancy with ourselves. At the moment when we recognize what God has done by faith without any compromise as being valid, and say, as true as God lives, and became man in Jesus Christ, and made a new covenant on the cross of Calvary, and by his shed holy divine blood has atoned and forgiven our sins. And if we agree with God on the innermost part of our heart, then it cannot be otherwise but that we get back the connection to God and experience the peace with God. We must actually make the choice whom we want to believe, that what surrounds us or what clings to us, and remain in discrepancy with ourselves. Or do we want to believe today that God has settled the account, that he atoned for the sin and manifested divine righteousness, as it was already promised in the prophet Daniel, in the seven things which are written there? The Most Holy will be anointed, and eternal righteousness God will manifest. I ask you, has he done this on Calvary? If yes, then say Amen. This we believe with all our hearts. And from that moment on, where we believe this, that we, from God's side, have been justified, the devil has lost his right on us. He will, as the swindlers do it, always write out new bills. Oh yes, he will always find a new letter of requirement and say, you didn't settle this yet. There is still an open bill. It is no more here. The letter of requirement is torn in pieces. The wall of partition is abolished and taken away. The perfect righteousness of God was given to them who believe in Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. Make up your mind today. Simply receive it. Let it become divine reality. Rather present the devil as a liar and say, devil, depart. You have no right anymore. What you are asking for has long been paid for. It has long been done well. Satan, get thee behind me. My Lord died on the cross of Calvary, and I believe what the prophet Isaiah said. He laid upon himself all our guilt and sin, our sicknesses, all or just some? All. What hit you and me through the fall, what concerned your soul, your spirit, your body, all, even for the sake of the body, he was smitten, so that we can be healed by his stripes. It is written, when he will give his blood as an atonement, then he will see his seed and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will happen through him. May the will of God, through us who we are divine seed, happen here on earth. We can honor God only through faith and support the faith by obedience. Not just to say, I believe, but also be obedient. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Here it says from verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. Oh, this was not loud enough. You don't say the Amen to me, you say it to God. And we hear what He says to us through His Word. Please, accept the Word of God as that what it is. It came forth from the mouth of the Lord for our comfort, for our strength. Let us go with on our inside. It doesn't fit here what I say now. But when I preached in London, there it happened again. When something powerful came, then a man from Jamaica who sat at the piano. When something powerful came, he suddenly pressed on the keyboard. He really played them into all directions, I tell you. And all the people went with on their inside. There was an atmosphere. There was life. There the Spirit of God could work. We don't have to complain about our mentality. This is okay. We have a very nice mentality here in Central Europe. But when we hear God's word, we should go with on the inside. It is so mighty that God speaks with us and that He reveals unto us His word and plan so clearly that even a fool cannot go astray. I read on in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 I read, now verse 14. For He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. What a wonderful word! The Prince of Peace was manifested in the flesh. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. A son was born unto us. A child was given to us. It was Him. He alone can give us this peace. But before we can have peace, the enmity must be abolished. And the enmity comes always from the enemy. And the Lord, as the seed of the woman, has bruised the head of the serpent, has on the cross of Calvary conquered hell, death and the devil, has acquitted us, has paid for the sin. Now we are children of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. I read still from Ephesians 6, verse 15. And then we come to the three scriptures which lead us to the Lord's Supper. Oh, the word is so precious. It penetrates us. It goes through marrow and bone. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. And your feet shod with a preparation to preach the gospel of peace. Today we speak about the subject of peace. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. We showed that the Prince of Peace came to bring peace, not peace demonstrations, where the windows are broken and cars are set on fire. Not that. Peace with God that is higher than all the understanding of men. Everything else is a false peace and is condemned to fail. Also to this, we shall be prepared to preach the gospel of peace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. We read many things. The Gospel of Peace. The God of Peace. The Lord of Peace. And of the Prince of Peace. Everything was given to us by God, by His grace. We read of our Lord in Hebrews chapter 7 as follows. It's quoted here from Genesis 14 when Melchizedek, the king of Salem, came and met Abraham to have the supper with him. He had bread and wine with him. Today we have bread and wine here. Today we want to celebrate with the Lord the Lord's Supper. You can read it in Genesis 14 from verse 17 when the Lord came out there with bread and wine to celebrate with Abraham the Lord's Supper. Here in the New Testament in Hebrews 7, maybe we read from verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. What a wonderful word, what a light, what a clarity. The same who in the Old Testament did not yet become man, not yet wrapped in swaddling cloths, not yet laid in a manger, not yet having father or mother, not having beginning of days nor an end of time. He is presented here. And today we look back and see, earthy, he had a beginning. Earthy, he had an end. Divinely, spiritually, he had no beginning and will have no end. The same could say, before Abraham was, I am. And we are so grateful to God that we may look beyond the curtain of time and see the divine revelation in Christ, not explained by reasoning, but revealed by the Spirit. To some the Lord is hidden, to the others he is revealed. This word I wanted to have read as an introduction to the Lord's Supper. As then, the king of Salem, the king of righteousness, the king of peace. And I ask you today, who is the king of righteousness? Who is the king of glory? Who is the king of peace? Only one, the king of kings and the Lord of lords. If you believe it, say amen. That's how it is, and that's how it remains. He is the king of Salem. Shalom, peace. He is the king of peace, the prince of peace. In him we have peace with God. As he himself is reality, so his peace, his grace, his life, his spirit, his word, everything has to become divine reality to us. And this must be revealed to us by the Spirit. One more scripture. Colossians chapter 3. I know the last time I spent here on the last Sunday in November, as I found out later on, I used 3 hours. This I don't want to do today. Colossians chapter 3. Here we read verse 15. Colossians 3 verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. If we had an experience with God, and know that our sins were atoned and forgiven, that God's anger does no more weigh on us, that we were pardoned. If somebody sits in prison and he is pardoned, then the doors and the gates open. He may go out freely. Our Lord led captivity captive and has set the captives free. Whoever abides in captivity today has not understood that captivity was led captive, and we all have been set free. Who wants to receive it today by faith? It is a gift from God, the greatest that could be given to mankind. But it has to be received, accepted. No philosophy, no doctrine. Receive and accept Jesus Christ. He is our peace. He is the Word. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the light. He is all in all. Receive Him fully, really, with all your heart. And say, Faithful Lord, as certain as you fully sacrificed yourself for me, and you said, Not my will, but your will be done. In the same way, I give to you my life, fully. Let us also mean it this way. Many times we said it, Lord, fully for you. We didn't fully succeed. We have each one of us, who we served the Lord for some time, we experienced disappointments on ourselves. One time I was so far in my desperation that I said to the Lord, Can you still believe me? If I tell you, now I give you my life fully. I say, Lord, forgive me if you cannot believe me anymore. I've said it many times and meant it, but I didn't succeed. Give you me the strength. You give me the success to will. And I think this is the secret. We have often said something to the Lord and we couldn't keep it. But then it is written, even if we are unfaithful, yet he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Receive it today by faith, a full, a free salvation. And if we now, in a few moments, go over to the Lord's Supper, then I ask you beforehand to let the certainty be given to you that forgiveness is not in the Lord's Supper. Forgiveness is on the cross of Calvary. Atonement and salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ. With that blood that was shed on this earth, He then entered the most holy place and laid it upon the mercy seat. Here we have wine. Here we have bread. Wine represents the blood of Christ. Bread represents the body of Christ. And while we partake of the bread and wine, we realize that our Redeemer there on the cross gave his body and shed his blood so that we have salvation. Let us thank the Lord that he has saved us. Let us thank him that he pardoned us. Peace on earth in the people who have God's well-pleasing. May God's well-pleasing rest today upon all of us. Please receive it. Romans 5, verse 1. By faith we have been justified through the faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, and thus we have peace with God. Should somebody be still here who has not yet experienced this peace with God, may it happen now. May it happen in the short moments where we will be in prayer. We want that still many are being saved, are being added, so that the reward of our Lord is gathered in, and that there is much joy in heaven and on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. Today we are the ones on whom God's well-pleasing rests, because we received peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand up and we take some time for prayer. For one thing I ask now, don't be depressed. Don't be faint-hearted. Leave all your failures behind you. Look on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of the faith, not on yourself, not on circumstances. Receive today what God has given to you, and when you then partake of the supper, then do it with all your heart. Say, Lord, as certain as I eat this bread now, so certain you suffered for me in your body on the cross of Calvary. As certain as I drink of this cup, so certain you shed your blood on the cross. You redeemed me. I'm yours for time and for eternity. Hallelujah. Together we thank you with all our heart and with all our soul for the finished work of redemption, for your incarnation, for your suffering and dying, for your glorious resurrection, for your ascension, for your return. We thank you for our perfect redemption, justification and sanctification. We thank you for the calling out. We thank you for that you opened our eyes and hearts to recognize the time and the hour in which we live, and to receive the message and the messenger. By this we seal that you, O God, are true, and that we have taken your speaking seriously and believe you, and that we may experience what you promised. Dear Lord, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving. You have put off your glory. It appeared to the shepherds on the field. Your radiance, your majesty surrounded them. You yourself became man. But we thank you for the day that comes, where you will return in glory, and all knees shall bow before you, and every tongue will confess that you are the Lord. Faithful Savior, it fills us with pain if people classify you this way and that way. You are Lord. You are King. You are all in all. We pay homage to you. We thank you. We worship you. Every tongue will confess that you are the Lord. We thank you already today for it, and praise you, faithful Savior, also for the Lord's Supper, as a memorial for your suffering and dying on Calvary. You said, I desired to have the supper with you, with them who believed you, who followed you. As such, we are here today. May you have blessed us together, and may you be with all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated.